Part 5. The roof of Cole's department store held an elevator tower, air conditioners, and a large neon sign. Several antennas stood on the concrete as receivers for the store's internet and security systems. There were no other ways off the roof, and when the shapeshifter looked over the roof, he could see that the nearest buildings were too far away to jump. He was trapped. Behind him, the door banged open. His two pursuers came running out onto the roof, both panting from the climb.
"There he is,"
the woman said.
"End of the line, buddy,"
said the man behind him. He turned around slowly, raising his hands. He smiled what he hoped was a disarming smile.
"Okay, you got me. I guess you can arrest me now, huh?"
His smile faded when he got a good look at the man walking toward him. Jim's face was almost dark with anger. Behind him, he could see the blonde girl, and her eyes seemed to glow bright green. She looked like a predator stalking its prey.
"I don't think an arrest is going to cut it," Jim said, taking another step forward and then another.
His hands opened and closed.
"Andrew said you hurt Mercedes bad. Struck her down was the word he used. I think maybe I need to make sure you don't hurt anyone again."
Jim grabbed the shapeshifter by the front of his shirt and lifted him off his feet. The shapeshifter grabbed his wrists, trying to get out of his grip, but Jim's hands felt hard as rock under his fingers. He began carrying him toward the edge of the roof.
"Let's see if you can shapeshift a pair of wings," Jim said through gritted teeth.
"Let me go,"
the shapeshifter cried, almost in a panic. The roof door banged open again. Andrew came running out, holding a gun in his hand.
"Jim, stop! She's okay. She's fine."
Jim blinked a couple of times before he slowly lowered the shapeshifter down to the roof again. He let go of his shirt. The shapeshifter coughed and sank to his knees. He shivered with relief.
"He just gave her a blow to the temple. She's made of tough stuff. She'll be fine. Probably get a slight concussion, but she'll be okay."
Jim looked down at the shapeshifter.
"Your luck. Now get up."
Jim raised his wrist and spoke into his radio.
"Charlie, we got him. Do you have a holding cell here?"
"We do indeed,"
the radio replied.
"Then get it ready for a new guest."
"Roger that."
Jim pulled a pair of handcuffs from his pocket.
"I'd read you your rights, but I honestly don't feel like you have any right now. So all I'll say is, your ass is busted."
Mercedes had a bandaged head and a black bruise next to her eye, but otherwise looked none the worse for wear when they met in Charlie's office a little later. Feline had volunteered to guard the prisoner in the holding cell, but the other four sat around Charlie's desk, cups of coffee in hand.
"So, what do we do with him?"
Charlie asked Jim.
"I mean, do we just call the SFPD and have them arrest him? Isn't he going to walk out of a jail the first chance he gets? How can we even prosecute a guy who can look like anyone?"
Jim sighed.
"Unfortunately, that's the problem. There's really only one way of making sure he stops what he's doing, and I was about to do that when..."
"I thought you were just bluffing,"
Andrew said, widening his eyes.
"I thought you were trying to scare the crap out of him."
"And it worked, didn't it? But I'm actually quite serious. Not that I feel comfortable discussing the death penalty for a guy caught shoplifting, but he's not going to stop, and he obviously has no problem hurting people. He might be too dangerous to let go."
"I don't accept that."
Andrew looked at him.
"I used to be a federal agent. I believe in punishment that fits the crime, and in rehabilitation. We've got to be able to find something to do with him.
Can I say something? Mercedes said.
Sure, of course you can, Jim said, reaching a hand out to stroke her shoulder. The feeling he'd felt inside when he had heard the call,
Mercedes has been struck down in the elevator by the shapeshifter, and they're heading for the garage,
on the radio, still had a bit of a grip on him, and he wanted to make sure she was there, that she was all right. Cole's in-house nurse had taken a look at her and pronounced her out of danger, but he still felt a knot in his stomach.
I've got an idea for what we can do with him. I'm thinking we should give him community service.
What do you mean? Andrew said.
Well, you said Jim scared the crap out of him. He thinks we're going to kill him. So let him think we're commuting that sentence if he does a little thing for us. Let's call it a kind of payment for all the stuff he stole from the store.
What do you have in mind? Charlie asked.
When I walked around the warehouse, I noticed that you guys have no store Santa. Is that right?
That's right. Cutbacks. We couldn't afford it this year. Too bad, actually. The kids are really missing Cole's Santa.
Well, then let's bring him back.
Mercedes rubbed her hands together, and under the bandage, her eyes glittered with good cheer. December the 24th.
And a Nintendo Wii, and a Barbie Dream House, and horse, and a Build-A-Bear, and...
The little girl's voice went on and on in a monotonous drone. It seemed the list of things she wanted for Christmas was so long that, should she receive it all, she would be buried under a landslide of toys. Santa, on whose lap the girl sat, looked every bit the part. He was a stout, jolly-looking man with white hair and beard, red cheeks, big, bushy eyebrows, and a cherry nose. The dimples in his cheeks were deep enough that you could put raisins in them. In fact, the only thing that didn't follow the classic description from the night before Christmas was his eyes. They looked utterly bored.
I think this is a great idea, Andrew said.
He sat in a comfortable chair and had both feet up on the fence around Santa's village. Next to him was a cup of coffee.
One of your personal best, Mercedes.
Mercedes stood next to him, leaned against the wall. Her bandage had come off that very morning, and she felt better than she had in a long time. She smiled as Santa put the little girl down, patted her on the head, and waved the next child forward.
He provides a valuable service for the community, makes the kids happy, and he learns a lesson at the same time. And come closing time tonight, Jim said he can leave the city and never come back. Hopefully he'll think twice about doing stuff like this again after spending the last couple of nights locked in our guest room after work. He'd better not be stupid enough to return. Jim has told him he'll be on the lookout for him in the future.
And to think it only cost Coles a few stolen items.
What was that I heard about a pair of cufflinks that wasn't recovered, by the way? The rest of his stuff was in his apartment. What happened to them?
Mercedes waved her hand dismissively.
That was me paying off a source. Don't worry about it.
The little boy climbed up on Santa's lap and looked up at him with big, admiring eyes.
Are you really, really Santa? He asked.
Santa sighed.
I'm sitting here, aren't I? Of course I'm real. Now come on, tell me, what do you want for Christmas?
Andrew grinned up at Mercedes.
I never get tired of hearing him say that he's Santa.
Anyway, what are you doing down here? I thought you would be out finishing your Christmas shopping.
I've done everything I need to do, and I've bought all my presents with employee discount. I'm just here to have a word with Charlie.
Oh, about what?
You are way too nosy, Mr. Picard.
She put a finger on his nose and walked off. I'll see you later. Don't be late. I'm not cooking Christmas dinner for people who show up late. Yes, ma'am.
Andrew turned back towards Santa, who was now listening to the boy's wishes while his mother took photos. Mercedes went up to the administration floor and looked around. It seemed almost empty, and the receptionist was gone from her desk. She walked to the open door to Charlie's office and knocked on the doorframe. Charlie was at his desk and looked up when she came in.
"Hey, you," she said, smiling.
"Hey," Charlie said, getting up from his chair. He looked happy to see her, and Mercedes felt a warm little flutter in her stomach. They stood facing each other in front of his desk.
"I'm really sorry about missing the movie," she said.
"Oh," Charlie shrugged. "Who cares? It comes up every year."
"I'm serious, though. It was pretty much all I could think about when I went down, that I'd miss out on seeing it with you."
"Really?" Charlie's face got a happy expression that Mercedes liked. "You know, I do have the DVD. Mercedes pointed behind her.
"Why are you here anyway? It looks like your whole floor is empty."
"Yeah, all the admin staff clocks out at 2 today. It's just the key staff that closes the place up. I volunteered since, well, I don't have a Christmas party to get home to."
"You don't?"
Mercedes cocked her head.
"What are you doing tonight, then?"
"Well, honestly, I've got a jumbo-sized bag of candy, a six-pack of Mountain Dew, and a turkey dinner the cafeteria lady fixed for me. I'm sure I'll find a good movie to watch on Netflix."
Charlie didn't sound sad, but Mercedes reached out her hand and took his. He blushed when their fingers touched. "No one should sit alone on Christmas Eve. I mean it."
"Oh, it's okay. I'm used to it." He hesitated and looked at his feet. That came off really macho, didn't it?"
"A bit, yeah."
"Sorry. I'm not really used to talking to someone. He cleared his throat. "Oh, God, I suck at this. I'm much too nervous. I never do stuff like this. Look, do you still want to do something? Not tonight, obviously, but some other day. With me? Something that's not a Christmas movie, but..."
He stopped talking when Mercedes lifted his head with her finger and gave him a brief kiss on the lips. She looked into his beautiful eyes, which still made her head spin.
"Hush. First of all, I'd love to. I'd really, really love to. Second of all, I meant that no one should be alone on Christmas. Would you like to come to Christmas dinner with us? We're kind of a weird bunch, I know, but we're like family, and I'd like you to come. Please?"
Charlie smiled. His eyes seemed to reflect Mercedes' own. He leaned forward so their lips touched again. Longer this time. She thought the kiss might have lasted a few months, maybe a year. When they parted, he said,
"Yeah, I'd like that very much."
"Great. What time do you close tonight?"
"At 6.
"Then you should be at our place at 7. You know the address. You can even ride with Andrew if you're not afraid of riding shotgun on a motorcycle. Don't be late."
"What about presents?"
Charlie asked. He suddenly realized that they were whispering, even though they were standing very close in an empty floor. "Forget the presents. Or get something silly. It doesn't matter. You're my present." She smiled.
"Oh, that was really sappy, wasn't it?"
"If I can be macho, you can be sappy."
"Deal." When 7 o'clock rolled around, Jim sat in his office and smoked the last of his cigarette before dinner. In the kitchen, he could hear Mercedes getting ready to carve the turkey, assisted by Andrew and Feline. They had sent the shapeshifter on his way, and he had promised never to enter the Bay Area again. There was a popping sound when Rhea teleported into the office. She was in a red dress with black shoulder straps and smiled at him.
Merry Christmas, Jim.
You look beautiful.
A girl can never hear that sort of thing too often.
She kissed him.
Now, where do I put the presents from Santa?
The tree's in the lobby. I wanted it in the living room upstairs, but it wouldn't fit through the stairway. So, Christmas is in the lobby, I'm afraid.
I don't care. I'll put them out. No peeking until tomorrow.
What do you take me for?
A detective who can't keep his hands off something secret.
Fair enough. But I'll restrain myself.
Rhea went into the lobby, and Mercedes poked her head in.
It's dinner time, so get your butt in here and put out the cancer stick. Tonight is a non-smoking zone.
Jim got to his feet and went into the kitchen. A few minutes later, he sat at the head of the table and looked at his team, tonight with the extra additions of Rhea and Charlie.
Okay, before we begin, you all know that I'm not much for religion, so I don't say grace. But I still want to say thank you to you guys. All of you. You're more than friends to me. You're family. And I can honestly say there are no people in the world I would rather be with than with you. Thank you so much for being here today.
Amen, Mercedes said. Now, let's... Wait,
she pointed out the window.
Look!
Outside, something white drifted slowly and quietly past the window. They all got up, and when Andrew opened the back door, spilled out into the yard. From the black December sky, thousands of little white snowflakes fell down on them. Mercedes' smile widened, and she took Charlie's hand. She leaned against him and squeezed it. What? He asked.
It's a wonderful life, she whispered. This is just like the ending.
You're right. Except there are no angels getting their wings. Mercedes looked at her friends who stood with their faces up and felt the snowflakes fall on them. Feline tried catching them with her tongue.
Oh? I don't know, she said.
I think there might have been a Christmas angel somewhere in the mix today.
Hi, this is Klaus Holm, the author of Tempest Investigation. Are you a fan of the story? And do you enjoy creating fan art or fan fiction? Then please share it with me. You can send it to my email, klaus@klausholm.net, or contact me at my Instagram, which is @klausholmwriter. We will share your images and perhaps even read your fanfiction out loud in a special episode. So if you love Tempest Investigation, share your love with me.